this June, St. Cloud State University wrestler heavyweight from Neola, Iowa, Caleb White, qualified for the Junior Pan American Games in Santiago, Chile, and represented his country in two divisions, freestyle and Greco, brought home gold and silver for his country, and he's here to tell us about it. Right now in studio, we have junior heavyweight for the St. Cloud State Husky wrestling team, Caleb White. Thanks for joining me, Caleb.
Thanks, John.
First of all, let's talk about how wrestling is a year-round sport. I mean, a lot of these sports have off-seasons. I mean, wrestling has an off-season, but the opportunities that wrestling has during the summer doesn't come by with a lot of sports. And basketball has camps. Volleyball has JO. I mean, there's AAU, I think it's called. And I mean, there's a lot of different camps. There's a lot of different opportunities for sports to continue through their off-seasons. Talk a little bit about what you and your fellow teammate Jay Hildreth did around April.
Well, in April, we decided that Jay and I wanted to go down to Las Vegas and compete in the U.S. Open for juniors. And it worked out. My brother was living down there. He was going to school at UNLV. And so we had a place to stay. And we talked with Coach Costanzo and Brady Wilson about that wrestling is a year-round sport. You can take time off. You can do that. But if you want to be good at what you do, you do as much as you can, whenever you can, to be great. And so we decided that we wanted to go wrestle down in Las Vegas and, you know, try our hands at the international level.
At the international level, it's not just like college. It's not like college at all. It's
no.
It's folk style wrestling in college, high school and college. It's a style of wrestling called folk style that is only in the United States. It's only in parts of Canada also, but in the international stage, it's freestyle or Greco-Roman. Caleb, explain to us a little bit about how freestyle and Greco-Roman differentiate from the United States style of folk style.
Well, like you said, John, folk style is just, it's the American style wrestling. Every international country has their own style of wrestling. Seamus O'Grady can tell you some about, like, when he went over to Mongolia. Freestyle and Greco, how they differ is Greco really forces you to focus on positioning, really using your upper body and putting yourself into situations that, you know, it's really hard to get into in folk style. Whereas freestyle focuses you to work on your attacks and your speed and again on your positioning, and the scoring's a lot different. With Greco, it's more upper body, can't attack the legs, and it comes in points of twos, threes, and fives. And now they integrated the 1 point for a push out. And then freestyle, you can attack the legs, and again, the points come in as threes, twos, threes, fives, and ones for push outs.
So, going into Las Vegas, this is around April, mid-April at the U.S. Open. I mean, a lot of international stars are there. A lot of wrestlers that have already graduated from college have had their accolades at the college level, and also now go to the freestyle and Greco-Roman area. That's the last chance they have to prove themselves in the sport of wrestling. That's what's in the Olympics, folks. It's the freestyle and Greco-Roman styles. That's what the IOC is fighting for. Well, that's what the community of wrestling is fighting for, to keep freestyle and Greco-Roman alive. So with you experiencing with both levels, I mean, there's a lot of people that just focus on freestyle, a lot of people just on Greco, but you had both styles at the heavyweight division, and they actually go by kilograms because of being an international sport in international stage. Explain to us a little bit about how you did at Las Vegas and how the competition was.
The competition was really stiff down there. I mean, Jay and I were in the junior division, which is right before, it's the 21 and under, which is right before the senior division. The senior division has people like Terrell Delagnev, Steve Mocco, Les Sigmund, Jordan Burroughs.
And all of them that were actually at the D1 level.
Yeah, those D1 national champions and some, you know, like Burroughs, or, you know, gold medalists in the Olympics. I mean, these guys are coming into the U.S. Open because it's a chance for them to showcase their talents and their last chance to make the world team, because it's in between the Olympics, you have the world tournament. So, you know, when Jay and I went down there, we had the mindset that, yeah, we were going to wrestle and run into some guys that we've wrestled before. My biggest two competitors when I was down there was Ori Elor from California, who I had wrestled before at Fargo. He's really good. He wrestled for a year at Ohio State. Now he's at the Olympic Training Center. Another one is Adam Kuhn. He's another great wrestler. Just out of high school, I gotta give him a lot of credit. He's a tough guy. He's a tough wrestler. I'd like to wrestle him again. I feel like he's a great competitor. And so I ended up, we wrestled Greco the first day. It's 120 kilograms. Jay and I weighed in. If you wrestled both styles, you just had to wrestle one night, or weigh in one night. Weighed in. And Greco, I ended up getting fourth in, which was, you know, I was expecting to do a little bit better than that. Was I happy? No. Was I excited that I All-American at the U.S. Open? Yeah. And then the next day was freestyle. And I really felt like I had to redeem myself. I ended up getting sixth in freestyle. I still All-American, but I ended up winning six matches. So I feel like I did better in freestyle, but didn't place as high, you know. So all in all, it was a great experience. I loved going down to Las Vegas. You know, I got to see my brother. I haven't seen him in a while. He actually got to help me kind of coach a little bit. He was also a high school wrestler. So, all in all, it was a lot of fun down in Vegas.
After you placing fourth and sixth, I mean, did you have any idea that you were going to continue to wrestle freestyle and Greco in that summer?
I talked with my dad. We wanted to go down to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and wrestle in the junior world team trials. If you're an All-American at the U.S. Open, you get invited to the world team trials for juniors. And we decided that at the beginning of the year, that one of my biggest goals was to wrestle international. I wanted to leave the country to wrestle. I've never left the country before. Heck, I've barely been out of Iowa. So I felt like that would be a really good goal to chase. And we did our goal packets for St. Cloud Wrestling at the beginning of the year. That was one of the first things I put down. And so, you know, yeah, I did have the plan. I wanted to go to Stillwater and wrestle in the world team trials and maybe try to hit a couple other, you know, open tournaments this summer.
Now, after the U.S. Open, getting to the gist of our story here, is you were approached by somebody from the U.S. junior team, and because of your excellent performance at the U.S. Open in Las Vegas, you qualified for the Junior Pan American Championships in Santiago, Chile. Talk to us a little bit about the process of how you were asked, what it takes to qualify for that team, and what your first first impression was, saying, "Wow, I'm going to Chile."
Well, Bill Zadek, he's a former Hawkeye, he's a national champion for the Hawkeyes, gave me a call on a Monday or a Tuesday, maybe a week or two afterwards, and called and asked if I'd want to be on the Pan American team. And my mom, I said, well, you know, I'd like to, let me think about it. You know, I'd really enjoy that. And then my mom called me and said, yeah, I just got an email from Sam Barber and Bill Zadek. They want you to be on the team. It's first come, first serve. And so I called Coach Zadek back and I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. How much is it? Let's get this rolling. And come to find out, what they did is they had asked, they usually just asked the number one and the number two guy. But they had heard, there was a rumor going around that Jay and I hadn't competed in freestyle and Greco in over 4 years, which is true. We haven't. The last time we competed, it was in like 2008 or 2009 at Fargo. And that we'd both made our international weight and wrestled both styles, which is really unheard of, especially at our age. Usually once you hit 18, 19 years old, your coaches want you to focus on one style, because in the Olympics you can only wrestle one style. And that rumor had gone around, so he had asked me, he said, is that true? You know, how long has it been since you've wrestled competitively freestyle and Greco? And I said, oh, about 3-4 years. And so that was kind of a big deal. And then I guess after that, the biggest thing was trying to raise the $2,500 to go. Because I am an amateur, with the NCAA regulations, I can't accept any donations from coaches or school or any of the schools. I can't have an agent. I can't accept any sponsorships of any sort. So I guess the biggest thing we had to do is, you know, fundraise. I did a lot of work. I threw a lot of hay. I mean, I did all kinds of odds and end jobs, you know, just so, and every penny went, you know, every penny went into that little tip jar.
How did you, what were some of the main fundraisers you did to get that money? I mean, I know that coming from a small town in Iowa, I mean, I'm sure you had a lot of families and a lot of family and friends back at your hometown to help you out.
One of the biggest thing was I had kind of a, I guess you'd call it a hay party. Me and a couple buddies threw hay for quite a few farmers, and they all knew and they wanted to support the cause. So, yeah, we did the hay throwing, and we did a couple, I guess, beer busts is what you'd want to call them, at the, you know, hometown bar or whatever. Sold raffle tickets for meat and stuff. One of the biggest things we did was we would put fish bowls with a little bit of the story about what was going on at like the diner and stuff like that. And that actually turned out really well. I think I ended up getting $500 or $600 out of those bowls. So, but yeah, it was a lot of kind of asking and some pulling some favors to really get some money donated. I couldn't get any money donated to me personally. That'd be against the NCAA. A lot of people donated money to my mom and dad.
We're talking to Caleb White, heavyweight for your St. Cloud State University Huskies wrestling team. He voyaged over to Santiago, Chile this summer with the junior Pan American Greco-Roman and freestyle teams. We'll take a quick break and be back here, and we'll talk about what it was like when he was the night before on that day when he was traveling to Chile. We'll take a break and be back here on KBSC 88.1 FM.
Here's to you, Mr. Speed Through the Work Zone Area Driver.
Mr. Speed Through the Work Zone Area Driver.
When you see a reduced speed sign, you laugh.
Slowing down is so overrated.
Texting and dodging potholes while putting on pants comes naturally to you.
Don't hit that marker.
So barrel through those orange barrels and keep on going straight to the hospital.
Mr. Speed Through the Work Zone Area Driver.
The Minnesota Department of Transportation says pay attention or pay the price.
Back here on KBSC 88.1 FM, John Peterson here, joined by the heavyweight for your St. Cloud State Husky wrestling team, Caleb White, talking about his summer excursion to Santiago, Chile. We just got done talking about on what he had to do to get to Chile. I mean, it wasn't free. I mean, he had to fundraise. He had to really train hard to get to this place here in Santiago, Chile, the Junior Pan American Championships. Let's build up to that moment, Caleb. I mean, the day before you were going to leave, what type of training, what was the mindset knowing that, hey, I'm going to accomplish one of my dreams, one of the things that I've been hard working at since I was a kid, to compete in a sport that I love to do in an international atmosphere.
Oh, wow, John. I don't know. When you just said that, I got kind of goosebumps there. Because it is, I mean, you know, when we found out they were going to take Olympics out of wrestling, I mean, it's really emotional for a lot of wrestlers. Yeah, it was a big dream of mine. And I was grateful for every opportunity I ever got in wrestling. Some of the training things I did was, like I said, about raising I threw a lot of hay. I tried to lift and run with Coach Wilson. I stayed up here over the summer. And he was here almost every day during the summer. So, you know, we'd get in there and we'd roll around. Another thing I did was Coach Costanzo did two camps that he had asked me to, I guess, be a counselor at. So I said, yeah. And, you know, that, you know, just being in the wrestling room is a big part of the training, you know, being around that atmosphere. Another thing I did is I went back to Iowa a week before I left for Santiago, Chile, and went into it'd be my new freestyle and Greco gym. It's Maverick Wrestling Club. It's owned by Zach Dominguez, a former UNO coach. Jay and I are both in great standings with the old UNO coaches. Trained with him and Zach Wilcox, and that's all the way. I did that all the way up until the day I left.
The day you left. We're now going to talk about Santiago, Chile. We're going to get into the bulk of how it was to be in a different country and to compete in a different country. So when you were with your team, who were all from different states within the United States, you were the only Minnesota person, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, you're the only Minnesota person. So all these kids from around the United States were picked for this team, and you guys land in this international atmosphere. What was your first impression landing here in Santiago?
It's kind of chilly. It was cold. It was middle of their winter, so it was a little chilly out. Another thing, I was really nervous. They're a Spanish-speaking country. I took Spanish in high school, not very well. I'm not very good at Spanish. Going into Chile, you have to pay an entry tax. It's $160 U.S. dollars, and that's where we ran into our kind of first little hiccup on the trip. Is they only took crisp bills, couldn't have any tears, fringe, writing on them or anything like that, and that was really hard for us because, you know, some of the money I had was money that I'd raised, so I mean it'd been cycled through a couple times. But yeah, all in all, first emotion I had was I was a little nervous being in my first foreign country.
How did it happen then? I mean, did a lot of you guys have kind of like should I say tattered and torn type of cash and stuff? How did you guys get by that?
Coach Sam Barber, he was our freestyle coach. He was pretty smart. He had went to the bank and got crisp $100 bills and crisp 20s. So he kind of just said, hey, just swap me money or whatever and we'll get it figured out. It wasn't that big of a deal when we got to the exchange office. They didn't really care, you know, that much about the money. So, yeah, he had it figured out for us.
The atmosphere, Chile itself, Santiago, I mean, it's a big city. What were your feelings when you were walking around and seeing the country?
I'm from a really small town, and that town's huge. It was really big. I didn't venture more than three blocks from my hotel. I wanted to be within running distance of my hotel. It's a very big, developing city. There was a lot of construction going on, certain places. I rode my first subway there. That was kind of a cool experience. The people are, you know, really friendly. It's a little different getting used to non-US, I guess. I think the funniest thing though was the stray dogs. They had hundreds and hundreds of stray dogs. They're nicest little dogs you've ever met too. They'll come up and rub on you or whatever, and they're pretty smart. They're bum dogs. They just wanted food. So, you know, but all in all, it's a great city. The buildings are beautiful. Old century. I mean, we saw a cathedral that was, you know, three blocks by three blocks, four stories high. And just, I mean, could probably fit 500,000 people in there. But yeah, it was really beautiful.
Talk about, I know you mentioned a little bit about in our first half talking about goals that you set with Coach Costanzo. Knowing that you've had a couple days to really soak in Santiago, soak in the atmosphere. Now going back to the main reason why you were there, and you were there to represent your country on the wrestling mat. Talk a little bit about how those goals that you set here at St. Cloud State with Coach Costanzo, how that helped you, and how the coaches here for the U.S. team helped you helped you mentally prepare yourself in an international stage. And with you explaining that, tell us a little bit about how different the competition was. I mean, you tell me off the mic that a lot of those wrestlers are well out of college. They're different ages. I mean, wrestling people from Peru, Venezuela, all these international countries. Tell us a little bit about how you prepared mentally for this stage.
Well, Coach Costanzo, you've heard John. I mean, you've heard Coach Costanzo say that, you know, that in college there's no chumps or anything. It's everybody's good, and it's the same way down there, you know, in Chile, wrestling for the Pan Ams. Everybody's good, and that's kind of the mindset I had. And you know, working with Brady Wilson. Brady Wilson's a big believer in mental toughness. You know, he's all about mental toughness. That's his strong suit. You know, besides being a giant. And he really stresses that on me too. So that's, you know, I think having the mental toughness and having the, you know, the self talk that Coach Costanzo always tells about, that you are the best. You know, there's a reason that you're here. Because when I first, you know, found out, you know, why are they picking me? You know, I had a little self doubt, and you know, Coach Costanzo right away said, you know, knock that off. You know, you're here for a reason. And Coach Barber and Coach Matthews, when I got down there, they said the same thing. You know, we picked you for a reason. You know, we saw something in you that we really liked, so you know, we want you down here to have fun and do the best you can.
Talk about the competition. I mean, a lot of these kids that you wrestle in both freestyle and Greco, we already touched on how different those styles are, but talk about some of the kids that you actually wrestled. Were they a lot older than you? Were they around your age, or how was their teams?
Well, it was right, you know, everybody was right around 21, 20, 22 years old, you know, right around there. Yeah, a lot of those countries down there, those kids get paid to wrestle. They go to school for a little bit, you know, if they want to, you know, learn a trade or something. But other than that, you know, they have clubs. They don't have school wrestling like we do, so that's something that, you know, they kind of get handpicked, or you got to get born into. So like the Venezuelan wrestlers, all those guys get paid to wrestle, and they're good. Venezuela is very good at wrestling, you know, considering the Western Hemisphere. So the competition was really tough. I mean, it's what happens when you run into those South American wrestling countries. You know, that's all they do during the day is train for wrestling.
Mannerisms. Are there any weird mannerisms that when speaking to people of different culture? I mean, of course this campus is, I mean, I've met a lot of people of different cultures, a lot of different backgrounds and diversities, but actually being in the homeland of a different culture, talking to people or just having a normal conversation with people that actually live there, were there a lot of people that actually were from the United States that were stationed there? How was the communication there?
Actually, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. A lot of the people down there actually spoke Spanish and English and Portuguese. The biggest thing, you know, I tried to remember was, you know, gracias means thank you. Sí means yes, no. And just, you know, the simple stuff. You know, always say thank you and stuff like that. You know, be friendly. And, it would probably help if I would have studied a little harder in high school Spanish. Because, you know, those people talk and you kind of want to understand what they're saying, and it's very hard to.
Anything that you took from Chile? I mean, knowing that it was a great experience, you got to work with coaches, I mean, that are at a national level, at an international level. Anything not exactly from the sport of wrestling itself, but anything from your experience in an international background, as you as a person with something that you took that really dives in about your character, about yourself, that you found that saying, hey, actually being in this different culture, being in this different atmosphere, it's something that actually I was not aware of this about Latin or Spanish cultures that you think you can take on for your own life.
I guess the biggest thing is always be gracious, always be grateful for everything that you've got. Chile's not necessarily a poor country, but you know, the richest of rich down there, you know, is lower middle class here. So I mean, always be grateful for everything you have. And another thing is don't be afraid to go try things. You know, those people down there that we met, a lot of the wrestlers are fearless. You know, they love going and hanging out with us and trying new stuff. And you know, always seek every opportunity that's presented to you, I guess.
That is Caleb White, the heavyweight here for St. Cloud State Wrestling. We're going to wrap up things here and say, hey, thank you very much, K Caleb, I mean, it was great talking to you. It's something that I always looked forward to talking to you about, and that will do it for me. For the KVSC new News Watch program, I'm John Peterson. He was Caleb White, and coming up next here, we'll have the afternoon progressive rock show here on KVSC 88.1 FM. Have a great day.